I'm Em.
And I'm Lex.
And we're thrilled to welcome you to the Ready, Set, Coach podcast.
Now, we're not just your hosts. We're also mamas, entrepreneurs, coaches, friends, and co-founders of the Ready, Set, Coach community.
What began as a pandemic side hustle has blossomed into a vibrant online community crafted by coaches for coaches.
So when we're not immersed in our coaching community on Circle, we're busy managing our other businesses, navigating the ups and downs of life, and of course, recording this podcast.
This is where we dive deep into epic conversations about life, business, coaching,
and everything in between.
So are you ready, Lex?
I'm set, Em.
Let's coach.
You just sniffled. I just sniffled.
I know. I was going to say, I feel like I'm really sniffly today.
Oh, I just, like, the amount of Kleenex I have gone through, even in the last 24 hours, I think I need a new Costco run for toilet paper.
And you really understand at that moment, like, it's important to invest in the soft toilet paper, especially when you're blowing your nose on it. Don't you think? Like, you can tell, like, the chafing of your nose depended on what your idea of good toilet paper was the last season of toilet paper buying.
100%. I've deemed this sickness the daycare cold because I think I've only not been sick like 1 week this year. So it's just the new normal and it's ongoing, and it just is some weeks and not as worse other weeks, but I don't think it's ever gone away.
I completely agree. I was telling Greg, I was like, I don't like being sick because I feel weak. Like I'm one of those people that, like, when I'm sick, I'm weak. And then if I'm weak, then no one wants to keep me on the island. And then I'm going to be voted off the island and die.
Probably survival of the fittest.
is that messed up though? I'm like,
what's that book we read with the
Lord of the Flies?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly.
Whereas me, I've been so sick my whole life. It's just like, I'm okay. So you know who I remind myself of in an adjacent way? Quick squirrel. If you guys don't know this about Em and I, but we're big readers. If you're longtime listeners, you should know that. But
yeah,
I think you finished all the Fourth Wing books. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm in book two. If you have not read the Fourth Wing and you like fantasy, crap, run. Don't walk. I'm obsessed. But Violet Sorengale, however you say your name.
I'm so excited you're quoting this.
Yes. Well, she says, and I mean, we're adjacent but different. She says something I was reading last night, like, little do they know, like, I always live my whole life in pain. And I was like, oh, I kind of feel like, oh, little do they know, like, I'm always sick. So anyways.
I thought you would relate to her a lot. I actually thought of you in that she, like, struggles through pain a lot. This is now a therapy session for Alex and I. But she struggles through pain a lot, but she's so much stronger than a lot of people give her credit for. They're like, oh, her brain, like, her bones are going to break, or this is happening. It's a real diagnosis, supposedly. I Googled it.
Oh, yes. I don't know if they ever, like, officially tell us what she has, but they haven't at this point, other than just she's brittle.
Brittle bone syndrome. I don't know. Anywho, yeah, that's very, very, very fun stuff there. But Lex,
she is not a failure.
She's not a failure. She is. Are you going to do it? Just do it.
I just kind of felt protective and wanted to steal it back because I saw you were about to do it.
No, do it.
And I'm like,
do it, Lex.
It's my turn. It's my turn. Violet is not a failure. However, we have seen failures.
Oh, God.
That's just saying. No one is a failure, but we have seen other coaches, quote unquote, by definition, fail at having a coaching business. And today we're going to dive into five different reasons or five different diagnoses, things that we think led to their demise.
Oh my God, that was so violent. That was dark. Out of their demise. I'm going to take like a golden retriever spin on this and just like sprinkle this within. But I think while we're going to talk about their demise, we're going to talk about your opportunity as a coach to succeed and fill the gaps that these people may have missed.
Yeah, because they died.
Oh my God.
On the parfit in Fourth Wing.
Were they fired by a dragon? Is this
Yes, they
should
got
we
blown up by
we
a
should
dragon.
our next episode should really just be in metaphor about Fourth Wing. You liked it better
Oh,
than a Court of Thorn and Roses, you said.
I think so. Oh,
I
it's so
know.
hard because I'm so in it right now. I do like it better than the Throne of Glass series. That one I could put down. There were elements of KOTAR, Court of Thorn and Roses. There were moments and books where I couldn't put it down. I felt like the whole Fourth Wing first book I couldn't put down. So
Lexi finished this book in like a day, and that's not
wild.
your normal
I
reading
mean, I was
speed.
in Mexico, so I had the time,
Still.
and I tapped my husband. I'm like, nope, you have to keep watching our child because like there's a dragon right now and he's doing this, and like I can't stop, won't stop.
One of
Okay.
my oh, okay. I was wait, one of my
Squirrel, squirrel,
girlfriends,
squirrel.
her husband read the book and was obsessed with it too. I was like, oh, a
Oh,
guy's into
interesting.
this. I feel like, yeah.
We
All
the
right.
only reason I'm chopping our squirrel is every month, guys, we host a mix and mingle for the Ready Set Coach community. If you are not in our community, what are you doing with your life? And that mix and mingle is going down in 21 minutes, so we need to make sure this podcast is wrapt up before then.
We
So
gotta
let's
hustle.
dive right in. What is one reason we've seen a coach fail?
I don't know. What's the reason? No, I'm just
No,
kidding.
I'm asking you.
I'm kidding. I kid. Sorry, guys. We just came off other stuff. Well, I think one of the biggest things, and this is actually probably the number one reason we've seen people not succeed, is their mindset, and specifically embracing or embodying like a scarcity mindset encompassed with desperate energy. So, for example, being like, if this doesn't work, I'm a failure, using those words. So really walking into it like already kind of destining themselves to be failures. Also, kind of like, how do I say it? In terms of scarcity, just like nickeling and diming everything, referencing their bank account, referencing how much money they don't have, referencing like I need to make a client sale or something awful happens.
I think too, when what we've seen when people are truly in scarcity mindset, they run and grasp onto excuses left and right. So an excuse might be, oh, well, they can't afford me, or oh, my prices are too high, or oh, no one needs this right now. Like there's always an excuse available for them to grasp onto to like tough love, make them feel better about what's going down. When actually, like, Emily's golden retriever spin earlier is the opposite of that. That was her taking, I mean, I wasn't trying to be, it's not directly related, but like she's being able, she's reframing, right, my demise into something positive. And there are so many people, it is so common for people to not do that in coaching.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love, we're not trying to scare you or whatnot, but in terms of mindset, I think the reframe of the scarcity mindset would be like giving yourself an abundance mindset or a magnetic mindset, and approaching your selling process and approaching your coaching business with openness versus that fear and doom and gloom.
Hey everyone, Lex here.
And M.
And if you haven't heard, we did something pretty darn cool.
We sure did. We launched a completely free community built specifically for coaches.
Say it again for the people in the back.
We launched a free community for coaches. Tell them quickly who it's for and what we're doing inside, Lex.
Sure thing. So it's for anyone from the coaching curious to side hustlers to coaches ready to scale. And through the virtual platform that we've built, we've created a safe and fun space to learn, launch, grow, connect, ideate, collaborate, vent, and evolve together.
Nailed it, Lex. Now, while it's free, you must apply in order to gain a free membership. You know, so we can make sure everyone inside is awesome, like us.
Apply today at ReadySetCoachCommunity.com.
Gloom.
And
Better.
let's talk about desperate energy a little bit more because I think, you know, there's a very real factor behind the scenes. Let's say you left your job and you really do need to pay rent. And so that that is a reality, right? Like if you don't get clients, you don't have income, you can't pay your bills. And we are not lessening that at all. But there are people who take that energy, which is very clear, and they bring that to a sales call, and it shows up in how they speak. It shows up in how they interact, and it ultimately loses in the sale. So it's something to be mindful of. And it's something that, like anything with mindset, you have to practice daily to overcome, because it's quite natural to be in a state of fight, flight, or freeze, which scarcity can be related to. So we're not saying it's easy to overcome these hurdles. In fact, they're so, so common. Emily and I have had them at different
junctures.
But if you can't figure out how to overcome them, or the coaches we've seen not be able to overcome them, those are the ones we've seen unsuccessful.
And then what usually happens is they'll end back in that corporate role that they didn't love, that led them to burnout, that led them to coaching, rinse and repeat all over again. Yeah, which is a bummer, which is a real, real, real bummer. And that also, well, we can talk about that in another episode. So I'm going to continue going on. So Lex, what is another reason you think that people don't make it to the finish line? Don't cross the parapet, as we...
Is it parapet or
parapet? I don't know. Parapet?
We're talking back at fourth wing. If you're like, what's that word? I don't know. Just read the book. Just read the book, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Easter eggs within...
So this is mindset adjacent, but a little different. And I would say people who don't give it enough time, people who put unrealistic time expectations on how long they're going to give themselves to succeed. Mm-hmm. Now, the big question there is, what does that mean? Like, what is enough time to make this succeed? And I think there's a lot of variables, because it depends on how all in you're going. If you're only working on this business 1 hour a week, and you know, you might need a couple years to get this thing going. Flip side, if you're working on it full time, you know, maybe a year feels more realistic. Regardless, we see people putting these parameters, and I think this is due a lot of times to false advertising we see spoken on social media, this false idea of overnight successes. But when someone expects their business to be successful and 90 days and 6 months, even in that first year, hoping they're going to hit six figures. And then once they don't, just giving up. You don't fail until you quit. Or what's that saying?
I don't know.
It's impossible to fail if you never quit.
Ooh, I like that.
Something like that. If I just made that up, then trademark.
trademark by Lexi Smith. Well, I've mentioned this before, but I was recently purging my website, and I removed probably 80 blog posts featuring businesses that are no longer in existence.
Mm.
So these are people that built something and then for whatever reason decided to close up shop. So failure is commonplace, but if you don't give yourself enough time, it will definitely happen. If you give yourself time, it's like running a marathon. If you pace yourself and you are realistic with yourself and you train for it, it will most likely net out the way that you want it to versus if you start sprinting in a marathon.
Yeah. So basically, summary number two, reasons we've seen people fail is they've given up too soon. They aren't giving it enough time. What is numero tres?
Número tres is going too broad. So when this is an example of when someone's like, oh, I serve men, women, and children, and the demographics range from making $30,000 a year to $3 million a year. And you're like, wow, okay, that's cool. Can we talk about your marketing? And they're like, well, we're going to market to everyone. And this is something that I've done. This is something that Lexi's done. Like, this is something we've done collectively. It is so hard to find your focus when you're like, I don't know who my person is. Maybe you don't know who your demographic is. And I think going broad is kind of like a, let me throw out a big net and I'll see what I get. And then I'll serve those people. But Lex, what are the challenges of going too broad?
Well, I think too going broad, and also too many offerings. Like I think too broad in your offer suite, meaning I'm going to serve five different people and I'm going to give them seven different ways to work with me because maybe that's what they're going to want. Like you're the Forever 21 store.
Yeah.
And we're, while it's great that Forever 21, you know, works and all, they're what, a $1 billion business. Like it's not transferable. It's not the same business model. So the more options you have, the more people you're speaking to, the more confusing your business, the harder it is to market. I see it as a common default when people go niche and they aren't seeing quick success niche, they're going, oh, maybe I need to widen the net. And you know, there are circumstances when maybe you are too niche. If you're looking for people who are 21 with pink hair, who make $19 an hour, who like cats, and you're expecting to scale with that demographic and their names are Harriet, maybe, yeah, maybe we want to, you know, offer some Annas into the mix, but default quickly. So, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to serve everyone. We've never seen that pan out well.
Yes. Oh, right. I love that example.
I don't know where that came from.
Harriet, who likes cats. What other book is she reading, guys? What other book? Okay, Lex, what is number four?
So focusing on the wrong strategies and doing what I say, trend hopping. Now, I also want to give a disclaimer. It is really hard to know what the wrong strategy is when you're starting out.
Totally.
However, what I mean by trend hopping, and I for sure definitely fell victim to this when I first started. You know, you see one coach doing really well saying you have to do a webinar funnel. Then you try that for 30 days, it doesn't work. Okay, so now everyone and their mom is only doing reels. So I'm gonna put all my basket in the reels basket. And we're gonna try that for 30 days and then we're gonna work. Oh wait, now everyone's on TikTok. So trend hopping on strategies that really aren't conducive to you as a coach and you as a business.
And I think it's also being really inauthentic to who you are, to your point, where your magnetism doesn't shine through, where you're like, yeah, everyone's doing this lip syncing thing and pointing and doing the boppity boopity boos. And yeah, Lexi's demonstrating it beautifully for watching on YouTube. But I think that aspect of like, if that doesn't feel authentic, that energy shines through to you and that shines through to who you are. And I think about it also like talking on stories. Maybe, you know, you've seen coaches that are like super dynamic and they're out walking and talking on stories and that feels so natural to them. And you try it and you feel like a fish out of water. Like you need to find the strategy and you need to find the place that feels right for you. And I will use us as an example, Lex. Like one of my favorite things for us is podcasting. I love being able to have this platform to podcast and also have these conversations where it's not, guys, it's not scripted at all. And it's raw.
We're all shocked.
Yeah, I know, right? All of the squirrels totally made sense. And being able to be in a space to do this. So like finding that platform that works for you will take it's kind of like taste testing at a buffet. Like you need to kind of test the whole buffet before you go back and load your plate up with the helpings that you want.
And to give a little plug, you know, if you're listening to this anytime before May 13th, and you're someone who has been trend hopping a lot on social media and it's just not working, really, like genuinely encourage you to check out the conference we're hosting on May 13th. We're going to teach you how to find clients in three different ways that aren't social media. And they're the exact ways that Emily and I have used and feel good to us to find our clients. And they fall under the buckets of PR, events, and strategic networking. So if you're looking for new ways to generate leads, again, highly encourage you to check that out. You can go to our website. It's readysetcoachcommunity.com/clients. Okay, so that was number four. So focusing on the wrong strategies and trend hopping. What is the fifth reason we've seen other coaches fail?
Lex, you actually did a great plug for it, but it's refusing to show up and sell and leverage what they have. So I kid you not, we have experienced and met incredible, talented, bright coaches who have so much potential, who are really resistant to selling and really, really resistant to showing up. And we just mentioned for strategies and broad and scarcity mindset and all of the things, like, we don't love social media. We don't love, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't love, but there's still this aspect of showing up to some capacity that we have done. So this is, when we say not showing up, these people are like hard no on sending newsletters. They're a hard no on networking. They're a hard no on posting on social media. What are they hard no's on?
Or they'll post once and they feel like, oh, any more than once, now I'm spamming everyone. I don't want to be spammy. I don't want to be a salesperson. You know, we say this all the time. You can be a phenomenal coach. That doesn't necessarily make you a phenomenal marketer or business person, unfortunately.
1,000%. 1,000% agree. And I think there's this aspect of, like, you have this incredible gift to give to the world, but you're not leveraging it in a strategic way to invite people in to experience the gift that you have to offer.
So to wrap this up, because again, plug for the community, we have to go to this mix and mingle we're hosting, and there's going to be a lot of people mixing and mingling. I have two pieces of homework for you guys. The first most important piece is to read Fourth Wing.
Yeah. And give us a book report and also your thoughts. And
yes. The second piece is, I want you to tune in to if you felt called out at any point today. Was there anything we said where you kind of like squirmed in your seat if you're driving, or maybe eye twitched as you're folding laundry? Take that as maybe an indication to see if there's something you're doing, if you're doing something, you're getting in your own way here. And lovingly, once you call it out, then you can address it.
Ooh, I feel called out, Lex.
Would we call you out on
everything?
Everything, yeah. We're not preaching things, you know, we're not perfect humans either. So this is also a good reminder for us. I think we can go through seasons where we're really good at showing up, and then there's a season where, honestly, we haven't been so great, you know, the last few weeks. So it's a cycle.
Yeah. Okay?
But we can rise together.
Exactly. And let's get our dragons and
get on our dragons and fight the fight.
And we'll see you the next time on the Ready Set Coach Podcast.
If you're enjoying the Ready Set Coach podcast, please leave a review wherever you are listening. For more information about Ready Set Coach, visit ReadySetCoachProgram.com.